Hello and welcome to the Thursday, April 27th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from the KTOO studios. We've got a jam-packed show. We'll hear about UAS's commencement ceremonies this weekend. Also, the Alaska State Improv Fest is in town. Discovery Southeast is having their annual banquet. There is a 350 climate change event happening here in Juneau this weekend, and then 100 days for 100 voices, an art exhibit at the Canvas. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A community in northern Manitoba is in shock and is dealing with the aftermath of a violent crime posted on social media. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, two teenage girls have been arrested and charged with murder after the body of a 19-year-old girl was found on Sunday.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police have asked Facebook to remove the video of the beating. It shows two girls smiling and bloody. It also shows someone kicking a woman in the face while a second person holds the victim's arm so she could not defend herself. It's not clear whether the beating is linked to the murder. Police are investigating that possibility. The victim's face is so bloodied and swollen she is unrecognizable. The chief of the Saikin First Nation called the social media sharing of the incident cruel. The principal of the Saikin and Anishinaabe High School, Claude Guimond, says everyone is shocked by the violence.
I recognized all three persons in the video immediately. It makes me sick to my stomach that people would post stuff like this out there and make light of it.
Crisis counselors are now at the school to help. Healing ceremonies for students and staff are also being held. A memorial service and vigil will also be held. Police and students have appealed to people to stop circulating the video of the attack. They are asking for respect for the victim's family and friends. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The first ever director of American Indian Health in Montana has resigned just more than a year after being appointed. Montana Public Radio's Eric Whitney reports.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock created the American Indian Health Director position at the request of tribal leaders in the state. He appointed Mary Lynn Billy Old Coyote, a Chippewa Cree from Montana's Rocky Boys Reservation. Native American life expectancy in Montana is 20 years shorter than it is for whites, and both the governor and Billy Old Coyote said the state needs to tackle that problem and other inequalities in Indian health care. But when the governor moved her job out of the state health department and into the governor's office on Indian affairs, Billy Old Coyote resigned, saying the move shows the state lacks commitment to meaningful work and that talking and conversations are not enough. The head of Montana's health department says she's disappointed and that the state will soon roll out a new tribal health improvement program that it calls, quote, game-changing. I'm Eric Whitney in Missoula, Montana.
A Catholic school on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota has introduced its first Lakota language immersion program. Jim Kent has more.
The Lakota Kindergarten Immersion Class is a joint project between Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation and the Red Cloud Indian School. Teacher Savannah Gresseth says most of her students come from an environment where Lakota isn't spoken.
So the children that are here now, a lot of the parents are learning alongside the children with classes that our program offers.
And though the Lakota immersion class only has 5 students, the ratio for non-speaking tribal members is much higher than reflected by these numbers. In a population of some 40,000 on the Pine Ridge Reservation, it's estimated there are only 6,000 fluent Lakota speakers. As a result, this immersion class concentrates on speaking all Lakota all the time. Red Cloud Executive Vice President Robert Braveheart Sr. explains that teaching Lakota isn't just about language instruction.
You can't teach the language without teaching the culture, and you can't teach the culture without teaching the language. Our elders tell us when you lose your language, you lose your culture.
Perhaps the most telling aspect of the immersion school's effects is the unwillingness or inability for students to easily shift back to speaking English when I ask them to translate what they've said in Lakota. But that's a good problem to have, observes Robert Braveheart Sr., considering the history of Native American children in boarding schools being punished for speaking their traditional languages. I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by BNSF Railway Company, supporting science, technology, and engineering careers through a partnership with the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. BNSF STEM scholarships available at aises.org/scholarships.
And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, April 27th. This is your very own live show coming at you from KTOO's downtown studio. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And right now it is a typical rainy afternoon in Juneau. We haven't had rain in a long time. We're going to get showers today and tomorrow. And it looks like we're going to have scattered showers for as long as the eye could see. Mostly cloudy sometimes, but we're looking at some nice spring weather, high near 56. And then currently it is 56 at the airport and around town. So every Thursday we start our show with a little chat with people that represent the University of Alaska Southeast. In the studio with Jeff and I right now, we have Chancellor Caulfield. We also have some special guests, but I'm going to let Chancellor Caulfield introduce them. First, let's talk, you know, it's the time of year where commencement is happening. Is that true?
That's right, Joan. First of all, thank you for giving us this opportunity. We do have our commencement coming up here in Juneau on Sunday, May 7th, so about 10 days out, and I have the privilege of being a part of the commencement activities in our Sitka campus on Friday of that weekend, in Ketchikan the next day on Saturday, and then back here in Juneau on Sunday, May 7th, and that's at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. It's held in our Student Recreation Center on the Juneau-Auk Lake campus. And it's just the most exciting time of the year because it's an opportunity to celebrate the accomplishments of our students. I say to people that I have the best job in the university system because I get to shake the hand this year of about 660 graduates at our three campuses walking across the stage. And I can just tell you the smile on their faces and that of their family members and often their children, because we have many non-traditional students, it's just a joy. And so that's coming up, and we want to invite members of the public out. But at the same time, at that celebration of our student success, the university system has an opportunity to honor distinguished community representatives. And I'm joined here today by two of those individuals. We have a third who will be joining us from CAKE. And so we have this year two honorary doctorate recipients, one sitting next to me here is one well known to many in the Juneau community, and that's Lori Hagee, a distinguished music educator. She will be receiving a honorary doctorate of education. Coming from CAKE, we have Ruth Demert, who is also receiving an honorary doctorate this year for her service as a culture bearer, a distinguished culture bearer and teacher of the Tlingit language and Tlingit culture. And then to my right here, Connie Monroe is receiving a Meritorious Service Award for her many years of service to our community in so many different areas, adult basic education. I believe you're a graduate of the Juneau Douglas Community College all the way back in the days. I'll let her say a little bit more about that, but just many years of involvement in support of people in need in our community. So their recognition honors our university. They become role models for our students. So it's just a real delight to be here with the two of them and to have Ruth Demert joining us from CAKE.
Wow, it sounds like you do have the best job in Southeast.
Yeah.
660 students.
Yes.
Now, that is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really a terrific testament to the hard work. So many of our students have overcome challenges in their life and are raising families and working jobs outside of the university experience, but they persevere, and this is a chance to celebrate their success.
Okay. All right. Before I ask some questions of your honorees, I want you to say in your own words, Chancellor Caulfield, Why was Connie Monroe picked? She worked long and hard for the community. I had the pleasure of working with her when we were both at the Southeast Regional Resource Center. But, for you, why was Ms. Monroe picked for this honor?
Well, I have the privilege of reading through the letters that are sent by many, many people from throughout the community. This is a grassroots process, and we have names that come forward and a committee that quietly over time reviews a number of applicants. And, of course, it's a difficult task because there are many deserving people in our community. But then there are those who rise to the top. And if you think about Connie's career, I don't know Connie particularly well on a personal basis, but reading through those letters and then the conversations we've had, her sincere dedication to this community for people who are, again, like many of our students, who've overcome a lot of challenges in their lives, have persevered, achieved through earning a GED, adult basic education, things of that nature, and have been successful as a result of the support they've received from people like Connie. And it's very clear that throughout your life here in Juneau, you've epitomized the best of giving back to this community and showing support to people who don't always have an easy time in life. And that is why, that's what those letters spoke to, and that's what I've come to know about Connie, and that's why we're delighted to honor her with a Meritorious Service Award.
Congratulations, Connie.
Yes, well, that really surprises me about nominations and letters, because I have nominated several other people over the years for honorary doctorate. One that I still hope will be there, but it's I feel very humble about it. I know there's so many other people out there that are much more deserving, and the role model that I have was a wonderful Tlingit woman who grabbed me by the hand and took me to the university because there was no bus system in 1972. And that's how I got started. She registered me for the two classes that she was taking with Professor Olson, Marie Olson, and Jeff Shelton. So I got hooked. And all over the years, as things happened to me, and I was able to get my bachelor's degree and my master's degree and to teach and work for actually the school district, Southeast Regional Resource Center, the General Douglas Community College, and then the State of Alaska and the Department of Ed. But when you do that, it's a gift where people have helped me go through the process. And the process also introduces you to what's happening in your community and how can you help? What kind of experiences do you have to help them? And what resources can you find to get them? I was very active in JAMI, the Juneau Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and also in the Alcohol and Drug Prevention Intervention Program on a local and state basis, which also gives you experiences to help your own family who is going through those issues, but helping the community because you know how to do it. So that's my part, my thank you to the community. And now as a senior citizen, really getting on in the years, I think that if I couldn't do it, my mental health would be really in trouble because it's a gift to reach out, have some place to go, something to do, something to give to. So I really thank the university for sort of nudging me and saying, okay, Connie, keep it up. But I love our university out here, and I can remember way back in the days when we switched from community college to university, and I was thinking, well, I've done the community college thing for 9 years. It took me 9 years to get a two-year degree. But during that time, they had these incredible workshops and courses. And now I'm so, so proud of the fact that we can go on to PhDs in Juneau, Alaska.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. Congratulations, and thank you so much for all your years of service and your inspirational discussion right now and just everything you do. So thank you so much and congratulations.
And thank you for being here with this public radio.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We are here at our UAS corner. We have Chancellor Caulfield here. We have Connie Monroe. And now we're going to talk with Lori Hagee. And she is also being honored May 7th during the commencement. And there will be three distinguished honorees. Lori, congratulations on your award.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
So, Lori, you are the founder of an award-winning music program here in Juneau. Can you tell us all a little bit about it?
Sure. It's JAM, Juneau Alaska Music Matters, and it's a program that uses music to help build school readiness skills for our kids, engage kids in learning as well as the community and parents with schools. So it has grown from, we started it 8 years ago, from 65 kids to 600 among four schools in the district.
All the elementary schools?
Three elementary schools, and it's in the kindergarten and first grade, they get 90 minutes of violin a week to help build those connections in the brain, develop their language skills, focus, teamwork, and then we move into an after-school program in second grade. So our oldest kids right now are in sixth grade at Floyd Dryden.
That sounds great. Congratulations. Congratulations on all the awards you've won for the program and this recent honor, which is fantastic. And I guess as an educator and a musician, what has been the most surprising experience for you over that eight-year period?
Wow, that's a really good question. Living here in Juneau, I feel like this community gets how education and community are intertwined, that we are truly connected, and that if you have an idea that helps the needs of your kids and the community, there's an openness and a real pioneering spirit that makes it happen. So I also feel very humbled by this recognition because I feel like there are hundreds of people that have been a part of what we've been able to accomplish in education, the arts, and culture, and that Juneau is a real gem, and UAS is an example of how we're bringing all of those pieces together to become the creative capital of the Northwest.
That is really moving because, as you said, education and community, and I see the three people in front of me, and I have to say, yes, congratulations to all of you, and we're so fortunate to have University of Alaska Southeast right out the road on their lovely campus filled with unbelievable resources and also the community that makes that. So thank you and congratulations to all of you. And then Chancellor Caulfield, can we just go through those commencement logistics one more time when it will take place?
Certainly.
660 graduating students in Southeast Alaska.
That's right, in Southeast as a whole. But the event here in Juneau is on Sunday, May 7th, 2 p.m. It's at our Student Recreation Center. We encourage people to park in our main parking area on the Auk Lake campus, and there'll be a shuttle bus from noon onward to shuttle people over to the recreation center. I also wanted to mention very briefly that we have our student commencement speaker. Her name is Jo Marie Alba, and she's originally from Ketchikan. She moved to Juneau to study marine biology after taking time off after high school. She has family ties to the Philippines. She's traveled and lived in the Philippines with family members there, but she is an excellent and very articulate young woman talking about the importance of education and her passion for science education. So grew up right here in Southeast Alaska, and she will be our commencement speaker, and I'm very excited to hear what she has to say on behalf of all of her student, those who are graduating, the students that are graduating. So Sunday, May 7th, 2 p.m., looking forward to celebrating our recipients here, including Ruth Demert coming from CAKE, and hearing from Jo Marie Alves, our student commencement speaker.
That sounds great. Well, thank you all for coming in today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 27th of April, 2017. It's the birthday of the playwright August Wilson, born in Pittsburgh, 1945, in a neighborhood called The Hill. Grew up in a large family, had six siblings. His father was a baker and a pastry cook. As a teenager, August was always in the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh, reading, dropped out of school, but still went to the library every day. Spent 3 years in the Army, worked as a short order cook, a porter, dishwasher, gardener, then decided to try to make it as a writer. He bought a typewriter for $20 and started writing poems. He liked to write on napkins in bars and cafes. He founded a theater company called Black Horizons Theater in the Hill District in Pittsburgh, and he set about writing plays, went on to write a series of 10 plays known as the Pittsburgh Cycle, including Fences, 1987, and The Piano Lesson in 1988. August Wilson, who said, "All you need is the blues. To me, the blues is the book, it's the Bible, it's everything. My greatest influence has been the blues," and that's a literary influence, because I think the blues is the best literature that we as Black Americans have. August Wilson, who died in 2005. It's the birthday of Ulysses S. Grant, born in Point Pleasant, Ohio, 1822, went off to West Point, was a mediocre student. He became a clerk in his father's leather goods store, and in the span of just 7 years, he became a Civil War general and then President of the United States. He was dying of throat cancer in 1885 when he set out to write his memoirs, and it earned about $500,000 for his family. It's the birthday of Coretta Scott King, the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., born in Heidelberg, Alabama, 1927, valedictorian of her high school class. She was a singer, violinist. She went off to Antioch College, then got a fellowship to study at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, where she met Dr. King, who was a theology student at Boston University. It's the birthday of Mary Wollstonecraft, born in London, 1759, whose book, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, came out 1792, one of the earliest books of feminist philosophy. She died of septicemia 10 days after giving birth to her daughter, Mary, who would go on to marry Percy Shelley and write the book Frankenstein. And it's the birthday of the man who wrote in an old house in Paris that was covered with vines, lived 12 little girls in two straight lines, Ludwig Bemelmans, born in Austria, 1898. Here's a poem for today by David Budbill, "The First Green of Spring." Out walking in the swamp, picking cowslip, marsh marigold, this sweet first green of spring, now sautéed in a pan, melting to a deeper green than ever they were alive, this green, this life, harbinger of things to come. Now we sit at the table, munching on this message from the dawn, which says, we in the world are alive again today, and this is the world's birthday. And even though we know we are growing old, we are dying, we will never be young again, we also know we're still right here, now, today. And my, oh my, don't these greens taste good. The First Green of Spring, a poem by David Budbill, from Moment to Moment, Poems of a Mountain Recluse, published by Copper Canyon Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It is 24 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from coming at you live from KTOO's downtown Juno Studios. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. In the studio with us, we have Kay McCarthy and Elaine Schroeder. Elaine hosts the Mind Over Matter KTOO show on Mondays, but they're not here to talk about that.
Only one Monday a month.
Monday at 7 p.m., but we're not here to talk about Mind Over Matter. We are here to talk about climate change. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
So there is a 350 climate change event happening in Juneau this weekend. But before we even get into the who, what, where, when, and why, can we talk about the organization 350?
Sure. Well, just to begin, 350 is an international organization. It's worldwide. It was started by a group of people, but one of the most well-known people involved in 350.org is Bill McKibben. And Bill McKibben is an author and a scientist, person who's worked for many, many years on environmental issues, and 350.org became his raison d'etre to go out and try to help deal with the issues of greenhouse gas, warming, climate change, global, known commonly as global warming.
Okay. Yeah. And what really, I think, differentiates 350.org, and we will be a chapter, we'll talk about the event in a moment, is that we're really looking at systemic changes, that 350 realizes that the Earth is at a crisis point because of climate change, and if we continue the rate, at the current rate of releasing carbon and methane into the atmosphere, and this is hard to take, but the Earth and all of the beings, animals and plants and people, well, beings, we're frankly doomed to either a miserable existence or no existence at all. And we realize that we really have to hold our governments accountable. And when I say our governments, I mean world governments. We're going to be working in Juneau both on a national, a state, and a local level to keep fossil fuels in the ground and promote renewable alternatives.
Yes, and I don't know if everyone is completely familiar or familiar at all with what 350 really means. I mean, we were a little bit disconcerted this last weekend during the March for Science when several people came up and said, what is 350? I don't know what 350 is. I don't know why you are, you know, pushing this 350 thing. And it was interesting to me because what this means is that many people aren't really aware that we've already reached the parts per million that exceed the actual 350 is the parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that can keep us below 2 degrees centigrade?
Yeah. Well, basically, to keep us at a level where we can sustain
life, is
our
sustainable
life is sustainable
as we know it.
As we know it,
right.
And now we're at 440.
Yeah,
440.
Hmm. Yeah, and the planet will survive, but we're talking about human life, as Elaine said before.
Absolutely.
And other life, other sentient beings on the planet.
Right.
So
life as we know it, or some
civilization
thereof.
As we know it.
Civilization as we know it.
Right. Let's talk about the events. So that's the big picture, and it's a big picture. Let's zoom into what's happening in Juneau and how people can become part of this change.
Okay. We're going to be holding a launch event, a kickoff event, at the Rookery Cafe, which is on Seward Street, and it's going to be this coming Sunday at 4 p.m. And we're inviting everybody to come who's interested in learning about what they can do to mitigate the catastrophe of climate change. We can't go back in time. We are where we are now. But we can slow down emissions. We can stop carbon and methane emissions, and we can do a whole lot to create a livable planet. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be having snacks and participatory an activity where people get a chance to suggest campaigns that the new group can work on, because we're just a new group. Six of us have been meeting to plan this launch, and we want to include everybody's ideas and really work for a just transition off of fossil fuels. Juno, statewide, and nationally. I want to mention some of the campaigns that 350.org has done and that we might also take up. So they are talking about divestment from fossil fuels. We're looking at the possibility of divesting the permanent fund from fossil fuels, the possibility of a state carbon tax, supporting Senator Josephson's climate bill, supporting the Juno Energy Plan, perhaps more education. We've already done, some of us have already done a film series on climate change. We have welcomed our senators when they've come to Juno with street theater around big oil. We are really interested in a campaign around the serious threat to our fisheries by a warming ocean. And Kay and I, this was fun, we enjoyed this, a month or two ago when the unpleasant fact that Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, was going to be voted on as a nomination for Secretary of State as part of a 350 campaign, we, among hundreds of other people, visited our senator's office in Juneau. And actually, we spent about 40 minutes talking to the staff person there about why Rex Tillerson, who has ties to the fossil fuel industry beyond belief, should not be our Secretary of State.
Well, and we also mentioned some of our concerns about other appointees to the cabinet. Scott Pruitt, who has long been known as a climate change opponent, denier, and enemy of EPA, is now the head of EPA. So we were concerned about all those things, and we did make our views known, and we continue to do that. But I think this is bigger than just contacting one's congressional representatives, which I think everybody should do, and I think we need to do it probably every day. But the problem with water on our planet, the problems that of lack of potable water, the fact that so many people are suffering on our planet from drought, from lack of food, from millions of people are going to die in Sudan and Yemen and other places, and nobody's even talking about that. I mean, I sent Rex Tillerson an email to the State Department. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about these horrible famines that are about to take place?
If you're just joining us, Jeff Brown and I are chatting with Elaine Schroeder and Kay McCarthy, and we are talking about the global organization 350.org. Juno is launching their very own, very new chapter. The launch is Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Rookery. If you want to get in on the ground floor or just stay tuned, by all means, check it out and keep your ears and eyes open to find out what this local group is going to do.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I think it's very important to mention that we'll be the first 350 affiliate in the state of Alaska, which is interesting because we are a fossil fuel state, and our goal is to keep it in the ground. And so I think the international organization was thrilled when we contacted them and said we wanted to have a chapter here. So we're getting tons of support. It's wonderful.
That sounds great. If people want to find out more information, where can they go?
They can go to 350juno at gmail.com or look for us on Facebook. And there's an event page on Facebook for this event on Sunday, as well as we have our own Facebook page.
Excellent. Okay, so stay tuned and check it out on Sunday.
And we're asking people to bring, we're going to have snacks and coffee and tea, and we're asking people to bring their own cups since we're so good.
So always come for snacks.
We always have snacks. And bring your own cups. Rookery coffee.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Support comes from Landscape Alaska, providing complete landscape services and Alaskan hardy plants from the new nursery on Back Loop Road and on the web at landscapealaska.com. This year, offering selected fruit trees and organic vegetable starts. Get your tickets now for the 2017 Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. This year promises to electrify with performances from the Congress, Grammy winner Zool Bailey with the Vega Quartet, Axiom Brass Quintet, and a festival finale not to be missed with Richard Thompson. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, JAHC.org, and JazzandClassics.org. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics. Support comes from Southeast Living Magazine, Southeast Alaska's home, real estate, and lifestyle magazine, working to reach potential home buyers and featuring articles and tips on home improvement. Available at locations throughout Southeast. More at seakliving.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Our next guests are here for the Alaska State Improv Fest. So let me tell you a little bit about the Alaska State Improv Fest from the Longview. It is the largest ever in the state, 24 ensembles from 14 cities, nonstop events starting tonight and going through Sunday, I believe.
Actually, going through Monday. We have some special shows on Monday this year.
There you go. And that's Eric Caldwell. He is the organizer of the event. And then we also have visiting guests from San Francisco, the Bay Area. We have Joe Liss and Marcus Sams from Listen Sam. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
Okay, so before we get to our guests, Eric, let's talk about the who, what, where, when, and why. So this is going to just be, like, happening.
Lots of things are going to be happening. We have performers beginning at 6:30 tonight, 6:30 and 8:30 every single day from Thursday through Monday. And then we have special over 21 shows at 10:30 on Friday and Saturday at the Hangar Ballroom. All other shows up at McFeeters Hall. Our complete schedule is up at asifest.com. And we even have a few all-session passes available, which comes out to about the cost of 3 weekend shows. So you can see all 12 sets for essentially the price of 3.
That sounds great. And how many out-of-town guests do you have?
We have nearly 90 performers this year, stretching from... We actually have someone from Germany who's coming in to perform in our Monday set, as well as a performer from Thailand.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. That is great. All right, so our visiting guest, so what do you think about Juneau, Alaska?
It's awesome. I woke up this morning with, I think it was Mount Roberts.
And that was probably light around 5 o'clock, right? 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pull your curtains is all I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you guys get into improv? One of you could answer at a time. How long have you been in?
I started improvising back in college, and then I guess I would say I started professionally doing it, meaning outside of college. In 2005 in San Francisco with a company called Leela.
Mm-hmm.
And I started way back in the 80s in Chicago with a company called The Second City. And
A little company called The Second City.
It has quite a reach nowadays, I'm sure.
You should search it out if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, you can. I think it's secondcity.com or something like that. Anyway, I wanted to take comedy, and I saw some Second City shows, and I said, hey, I think I can do that, and took some classes and auditioned and got into the company, and then toured, did the Second City National Touring Company, and then got into some main stage companies, and then decided, hey, I should try California. So I was in L.A. for about 16 years, and then my wife said, hey, I want to go work up in San Francisco. So I said, all right, let's do it.
Sounds great.
So, yeah.
So, speaking of workshops and so on and so forth, There's workshops this weekend.
There are workshops this weekend. The details on the workshops are at asifest.com. There's a link on the top bar that says for improvisers. Some of our workshops are sold out, but if you click there, you can see details of the workshops available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The instructors are from the People's Improv Theater in New York City, of course, Joe and Marcus. We have the director of improv at Merlin Works from Austin, Texas. And one of the co-owners of the Coaltown Theater in Austin is also teaching, as well as one of their other performers. So we have a real breadth of some of the top improv instructors out there.
Okay, so here's my question for all of you. So if somebody's listening and they've never been to an improv show, and they're saying, "Whoa, this is a wealth of people. I have to go check it out." What would you say to them as what to expect?
Well, unscripted theater can be pretty much anything without a script. In the past, we've had shows that have gone as far as dystopian cabaret. This year, we have a show that is a improvised version of Mr. Rogers, but with all of the audience all grown up, and we're addressing the issues that our viewers have today. Then there are other shows that you might think more traditional, improvised one-act plays. I'm going to kick it down the row, and I know these two have seen a lot.
What they'll probably get is, you know, a lot of improvisers will just take one suggestion, and then they will expand on that suggestion through humor and through drama, some through drama, mostly through humor. They can see something fabulous only for the one time, because it's about improv. You do it once, and unless you're recording it, then write it down, because then it goes away. Right, Marcus?
Yeah. There's improv troupes that do romantic comedies. Joe and I, we get the word of the day. And then based on that one word, we just kind of, I think we like to say, chase the rabbit down.
Down the hole.
and we just see where it goes. But I feel like a burning desire to say one thing. A lot of people who come to see improv, sometimes they're blown away and they're like, "I could never do that." But anyone can improvise.
We do it all the time.
You're doing it right now. Yeah. Unless you script your life.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. We do it all the time.
Nothing
just
scripted.
Audience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, we ran out of time. So everyone should click on their device, find out where to start, and get you to the theater this weekend.
Yes, come on down.
That's what it sounds like. Eric, and you want to do that URL one more time? Or
We are at asifest.com. Tickets at all the outlets and online. And the shows begin tonight at 6:30 and 8:30 at McPheeters Hall. We have 6:30 and 8:30 at McPheeters Hall through Sunday. And then Monday we're at the Hangar Ballroom at 6:30, 8:30. Then we have our 10:30 over 21 shows on Friday and Saturday, also at the Hangar Ballroom.
Right. Woo-hoo. It sounds great. And those workshops, and you should sign up, because when I looked earlier, a lot of them were sold out, but not all.
Woo-hoo. Not all.
You still have some opportunities. Well, thank you so much. Okay?
Thank you.
And you guys have a great time in the capital city, okay?
Oh, we're loving it already. Loving it already.
I think an improv group would have a pretty good time.
Inspiration everywhere.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note, and today we have a couple of past national turkey calling champions. Preston Pittman won his first turkey calling contest when he was only 16, and he makes these sounds with his mouth. Here's a real male turkey, and here's Preston. Now, see if you can tell which is which. You want to be careful how you use this skill. Here's what Preston said on the David Letterman Show.
I've been fortunate enough to live through two hunting accidents. I've been shot twice.
Oh, is that right?
So authentic is your gobbling that somebody has shot you?
Yes.
Now here's Alabama's Saddler McGraw. He uses the friction technique. You basically pull a striker, almost like a screwdriver, across a crystal surface that's about the size of a saucer. It sounds for all the world like a turkey, and it won him the world championship in 2009. Here's Saddler imitating the turkey's cluck and purr sounds. And here's the real thing. Now, this is the kee-kee sound that a young Tom Turkey makes. And here's Saddler McGraw's version. Can you tell which is which? Visit our website, birdnote.org, to see some hilarious videos of turkey calling. No fooling.
Hey,
Healthy Smiles are here. On May 22nd, Search will open the doors to its updated and expanded Children's Dental Clinic. Staffed by board-certified pediatric dentists and outfitted with the latest in pediatric dental technology, the new clinic will provide your child with a lifetime of healthy smiles. All kids' smiles welcome, from the first tooth to 17 years old. Call 789-KIDS to make an appointment for your child today. This message brought to you by Search.
Welcome back to the show. It is 16 minutes to the hour. Joining Jeff and I in the studio is Sean Isley of Alaska
Discovery Foundation, which is better known as Discovery Southeast.
I almost went back to Alaska Discovery. Sorry about
that. Everyone does that.
I know, Alaska Discovery Foundation. Before we get into the fabulous banquet that happens every single year and is a sellout and fun, can you talk a little bit about what the Alaska Discovery Foundation does?
Discovery Southeast deepens our connection with nature through education and exploration. We're best known for all our programs in elementary schools, where we work with third, fourth, and fifth grade students, taking them outdoors in this gorgeous backyard that Juno has, where they get great experiences outdoors, bond with nature at a formative age, and we also, it's all tied in with the science curriculum, so it's great science lessons that engage kids intellectually and something that hopefully will be lifelong passions, both intellectually and physically and mentally, too. Great benefits for mental health.
Sounds great, and you also provide camps.
Yeah, we have summer camps, which are filling up. Almost all of our summer camps for third, fourth, and fifth graders are full. This year we have brand new kayak expeditions for middle schoolers, and we still have some spots in those.
Sounds good.
And we have sliding scale tuition in all of our programs. So if you're interested in that kayak trip and you want to do it on a budget, you can name whatever price is right for your family.
Ooh, that sounds fabulous. Yep. What a great community resource. And so the banquet is this banquet and auction. So what we're talking about is food and opportunities to raise some funds and get some fabulous, you know, opportunities, whether it be actually tangible items or adventure.
Yep, those sliding scale donation, the tuition and the scholarships are all possible thanks to member donations. And so the banquet is really our big time each year where we celebrate what we've done as a community, and we also raise some funds for those scholarships.
And where is it going to be?
Centennial Hall this Saturday. Doors open at 5:30.
Okay. And then those auction items we were talking about, there's an Uncruise Adventure.
Yes, great auction items always. Uncruise Adventures is donating a cruise. I believe it's to Puerto Rico this year. We have Alaska Airline tickets. I think we might have two lots of Alaska Airline tickets. Tons of great local trips. So if you have guests coming this year, this is a great time to pick up something special for them to do while they're here, or just get all kinds of special stuff for yourself. It's a great time.
Cool.
You will get a good deal and have a ton of fun and be supporting something that is wonderful.
Okay, and where can people get tickets to this family-friendly event?
DiscoverySoutheast.org.
Okay, that's where we do it. All right, and how much are they?
I believe they're $40.
Okay, all right. And it is one of those iconic spring events, and I've been several times, and it's always very, very fun.
Great time for a great cause.
Okay, cool. All right, well, Sean, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Down on bended knee.
was Eric Krasno, Blood from a Stone, and you might wonder why Jeff played that cut, because they're playing this year at the Southeast State Fair, so check it out, Eric Krasno, the Southeast State Fair in Haines this summer. But before we get to this summer, here we are, it's Thursday, we're thinking about the weekend, so Megan Garrison is here from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council to tell us what's on the docket as far as the arts and culture activities for the weekend. Hey Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, what's up?
Well, I'm going to speed talk here because, as usual, it is a crazy weekend. I say that every time I'm here on the show. But I'll do the best I can with the time I've got. Tonight, we have Annie B's final night at Louise Douglas in Residency. We've got the Improv As If Festival kicking off through the whole weekend. You guys just heard from them, so I won't be too redundant, but they do a great job. Flipping my page, moving on to Friday. During the day at lunch, we have the Strawberry Luncheon. It's a fashion show, and it supports the Salvation Army.
Fun.
So that's really fun. That's at 11:30 to 1. Disney's Beauty and the Beast starts Friday night. That is Thunder Mountain High School's drama production. That's 7 p.m. The Improv Festival continuing. Salt After Dark is happening at 10 for you late-nighters. What do we got? Saturday morning, the Juno Audubon Burners Bay Cruise.
Ooh, that's another iconic.
Yep.
Juno,
I think there's
activity.
Still some tickets left, and those are at Hearthside Books. Tickets there. 9 a.m., the 2017 Citywide Wetlands Cleanup is happening, and that is sponsored with Alaskan Brewing Company. Get your gloves, get your bags, and then go celebrate and drink some beer with the brewing company. Continuing on, in the morning on Saturday, we have the Springtide Scramble. I've never heard of this, having grown up in Sitka, but it sounds really fun to watch. It's a mud run, I guess. You race across the channel.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I've heard of that. Low tide, and you just
low tide, get, yeah.
Not far. It just could be very muddy.
I know. And then 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., there's a pop-up gallery show called 100 Days, 100 Voices at the Canvas, dealing with the current political climate. So that would be an interesting thing to go check out. 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, the Great American Songbook Series continues at the State Museum. This one's featuring Cole Porter. Beauty and the Beast again. We've got live bluegrass at Bullwinkle's. Comedy for a Cause is Saturday night. That's at the Jack. That is NAMI's biggest fundraiser, and we've got lots of local people telling stories. Funny stories with MC Tom Cosgrove. Juno Symphony, Saturday night and Sunday, 7 p.m. on Saturday, and I'll tell you what time on Sunday. Let me check it out, 2 p.m., and I'll wrap it up by saying it slows down a little bit on Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday there's a whole plethora of events. Some of the big hitters are Joel Salatin Workshop on sustainable foods and food culture in Alaska, and then he will be presenting with Alaska Design Forum Wednesday evening.
Right, he's doing workshops throughout the whole state.
And we have Pillars of America as well on Wednesday.
And who is the speaker for Pillars of America?
I do not have it on my printout.
All right.
Apologies, but we'll get
always,
it on our...
It's always really interesting.
We'll get it on our calendar. That's at Centennial Hall. That about wraps it up. That Joel Salatin, who is a farmer and policy maker, is at 6 p.m. on Wednesday at 360.
Okay, great. And then that workshop is at the Jack during the day?
Yep. Around lunchtime.
Okay. All right. Well, Megan, thank you very much. And when do the Friday night events start again?
Those will start in June, Rock Around the Block parties. We're partnering with the Slam, with Panhandle Produce. We'll have markets. We'll have beer gardens on First Friday. We'll have music every week, vendors every week. It's going to be a blast.
Right.
Got some really fun bands lined up. And that's a free community event every Friday.
That sounds great. And then a week from tomorrow is another First Friday.
Yep.
Sounds
May.
Good. Yep. You'll come back next week, or Nancy will come back and tell us where to, what's going on.
Definitely.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And thanks for all you do, your mighty crew of six over there. All righty. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon. The weather, it is showers likely for tonight and showers likely for tomorrow. High near 55 tomorrow, scattered showers tomorrow night, and then we're looking at a mostly cloudy with a high near 56 for Saturday. So we're going to take a short break and we'll come right back. Gotta love music. So Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Thanks for sharing your day with us. You could always listen to Juno Afternoon as well as all the other KTOO programs at ktoo.org at your leisure. Tomorrow you want to tune in live for Juno Afternoon because Andy Klein is the host, and it's always a party with Andy, and he's got a great show. You're going to learn about the details of that Cole Porter celebration at the Slam with the Juno Cabaret, talk about the Juno Symphony's performances, Saturday's annual wetlands cleanup, the Tongass Collaborative Stewardship Group, and also that Berners Bay cruise this weekend. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
The Alaska State Improv Festival returns to McPheeters Hall in the Hangar Ballroom, April 27 to May 1, with groups from across the continent featuring Liss and Sams from San Francisco. Shows begin at 6:30 each night. The Alaska State Improv Festival, April 27 to May 1, McPheeters Hall and the Hangar Ballroom. Visit asifest.com for more details. Alaska State Improv Festival, April 27 to May 1, asifest.com.
This is Paula Terrell from the Year of Kindness Steering Committee. As part of 17YOK, all sorts of groups are adopting specific weeks during which they do something to help spread kindness. This week's group is All Fun, No Guilt Book Club.